This evening's Dharma talk is based on part of the Jukai or Bodhisattva precepts, called the third or the three pure precepts. The first two being do good, don't do harm. The third one is be with all things or meet everything where it's at. Let's just work on the first two for a while. So do good. Sounds very simple. And it is, if you keep it simple. What's right in front of you is obviously not going to be so good, so don't do it. Something else that's there might be harmful, so don't do that either. Have I thoroughly confused you yet? I'm working on it. I'm trying to keep the sound out. That's all right. So, it looks pretty obvious, you know, do good, don't do harm. And quite often we can see right away what that is. We don't have to sit and think about it or ask our friends or ask our therapist or whomever. We can see that if I do this, this could be helpful. If I do this, this could be harmful. But a deeper level of that, a way that you can look at it, the way that we could look at it here as meditators, if that's in fact what you do. Some people have been meditating here for quite a while. Some people have just started. So the basic point here is about how to relate to this, these three pure precepts. Is if it's obvious that you see this would be helpful, then of course you should do that. But if you have any doubts about that, don't move. This particular part of the precepts is very interesting in that doing good and not doing harm are very similar to the same thing, very close. Not doing harm is doing good. Doing good is not doing harm. But of course, you knew that. So the deep level of this would be, the way I would say this is if you look at something and you don't know whether it's going to be harmful or helpful or you're not sure about it, please don't move. Don't do anything. Even if other people are saying, well, you really need to do this or you really need to, all the stories you can come up with. You need to divorce her, divorce him. You need to have a date with her. You need to quit that job. I've got a better job for you. You need to stick with your job. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Stay in school. I'm not being funny when I say, don't commit suicide. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. I mean this. There should be questions around this at some point during this evening, somewhere, here in the Zendo or out there. I don't know if anybody is going to tell you. Maybe there's probably a few, but I don't know if anybody is going to say, telling somebody not to commit suicide. You might better mind your own business. No. Don't take that, stretch that the other direction and say, Soka-san's telling everybody it's okay to commit suicide. I did not say that. I'm just saying that you don't know what's happening in a person's mind. We have to respect people's confusion. At the same time, we respect their clarity. And if you feel unclear yourself, then you're probably unclear about what's happening to someone else. Sometimes we're unclear about ourselves so much that we can't stand it anymore, so we start meddling with other people. I don't know what to do myself, but I sure know what you should do. Sometimes called a parent. And I'm not taking anything away from parents. Many parents are absolutely fantastic. And I know that's kind of an overused phrase. But quite often that's what's happening. Parents think they know what's good for you, and they haven't even bothered to even see who's just suddenly appeared before them 8 years ago. Or 6 or 8 or 14 years ago. They haven't really looked at that person. And why haven't they? Because they really haven't looked at themselves. And if you have not looked at yourself, you have not looked deeply into your own heart, mind, your psyche, your consciousness, then you are probably not going to be particularly good at second-guessing other people and saying what they should do or shouldn't do. So I sometimes say, don't believe it, don't disbelieve it, don't do anything with it. And then people may jump onto that and say, well, you can't just be a passivist, or you can't be a laissez-faire meditator who just sits around and turns into vegetable. If you rest in the nature of your consciousness, which is not particularly thinking, nor is it not thinking, it's either one, then when events occur, things happen, come towards you or away from you, or go away from you, and there seems to be some appropriate action needs to be taken, you will be clear about it, because you are not flooded with hope and fear and passion, aggression, ignorance, and shutting down on some things and fighting with other things. If there's any warfare going on in your mind at all, even more so, you should mind your own business, because you probably will project that unsolved, unending war that you keep hidden because you just don't want to look at it anymore. That will start to move out towards so-called out there, which is actually in here, because you project what the world is, what you think the world is out there, and you act on what you think it is. You don't act on what it is. If you acted on what it was, you probably wouldn't do much, because it's so very complicated. If you see what this is, it is completely a mess from the point of view of relative truth, or plus, minus, up and down, back and forth, exist, doesn't exist, light and day, you name it, I'll agree with it. All these polarities. You need to see the polarities, and if you do, you kind of become tongue-tied, foot-tied, hand-tied. There's nothing, because you see it's too incredibly vast and complicated to do any kind of action other than eat something, head for the can, buy some dog food, unless you have a cat. But if you do sit still, if you do, you could say, hold back a little bit and watch what is moving, then if it's appropriate for you to do good, do something that is helpful, supportive for someone else deeply, so it's deeply helpful for them, then it will become obvious to you, and it will also become choiceless, because you'll just see, you won't even have the words, well, this needs to be done. If you're saying this needs to be done, you're probably deluding yourself, because when you act out of awareness, there's no one doing that. And there's no compliment, there are no credentials, and there's no merit badge at the end of the line. Even if other people are saying, that was wonderful what you did. Sometimes this happens in war, when someone just sees something that needs to be done, they do it, and they give them a medal for it. They don't really do anything except what needed to be done. Lots of other things happen that same way, where we actually get criticized for things we're doing that we really need to do, but not according to someone else in their fluffy opinions. Fluffy means trumped up. Excuse the word. Mm-hmm. Try not to use that. I probably could say trumpeted up. What are you doing here, Cody?
I don't know. What am I doing?
I thought I'd help you out a little bit. I kid, Cody. So you could find yourself in a situation where things are happening, things are moving this way and that way, and conventionally you see somebody needs help. You see that the direction they're going does not look so good. But you also, there's not a particular kind of opening that is happening where you feel like you have, let's say, permission to step into that person's territory and say, wait, don't, you need to slow down here, stop doing that. Now, if the person's 8 years old and it's your child, then probably you should do that. But if you noticed how that's a little risky if you do it with a neighbor's kid, just because they're 8 years old, there's so many causes and conditions, you can't latch on to one and say, it's always the case. As a great teacher, Zen teacher from Japan, came here in the middle of the last century, Shunryu Suzuki Roshi said, not always so. He even made it the title of one of his books. Not always so. You can't find anything that is always the case. Kind of a startling thing to realize that nothing repeats itself. And anything that happens is not always that way. Michael?
Does it mean to not miss out on your life?
Thank you. Teaching that I often give is don't miss your life. And that is, Michael's asking about that. And what I'm in, the way in which I use that is to, when I see someone that is trying to make their life into something else by changing theirself, modified on other people's opinions, on their own opinions, on their upbringing, on their conditioning, on their beliefs, their disbeliefs, and all of the various other contraptions that happen in the mind that we have names for. And when I say don't miss out on your life, I'm saying don't add, don't subtract, don't divide. Don't judge anything. Don't evaluate anything. And I'm not against evaluation. I'm saying let's use the evaluation when it's appropriate. And your awareness will tell you when that's true. But if you lead with your evaluations, you miss your life because you will evaluate yourself based on hope and fear and paranoia into places that you wouldn't have gone had you just been aware and just saw what was in front of you and took the next step, as they say. Because you would be a natural flow of your karma into this particular lifetime, out of the last one where you tried to get away with lots of things and didn't. If you had, you wouldn't be here. This is why you're here, it's like a big school. This is called first grade. I'm in second grade, that's why I'm the teacher. So missing your life, when I say don't miss your life, I'm saying just be genuine, just be who you are. Just be, if you have crappy ideas, or if you had sad feelings, or if you have happy feelings, or if you have depression, be depressed. Stop trying to get over the depression, especially by medicating yourself with medications based on people who are just trying to make money, addicting you to opiates and so on like this. It's just crazy. It's a crazy world. I'm not saying everybody that prescribes that doesn't have the intention of trying to help you. Of course they do. There are some very wonderful, kind people who are doing their best to help others. They just don't have great tools. And some of the tools they have tend to backfire. So when I say don't miss your life, whatever happens in your life, just be with that rather than add some kind of idea, opinion, blame this way, blame this way. I can never get this. Or you're never going to, why do you keep, don't you see what you're doing to me? Yak, yak. So when I say don't miss your life, I'm just saying, of course, I'm very biased. I say train your mind so that you can not miss your life. Train your mind so that you can see clearly. That's what training is. Sit down, hold still, and practice seeing whatever else continues to happen, which is your thoughts, your emotions, your ideas, your memory, the five sense consciousnesses, the six, including the mind, whatever's arising in those should be viewed precisely. If that occurs, then what seems to take over is not so much what is viewed, but just the ability to view precisely, to see in a vast space, to be able to come down to a single point immediately and stay there for as long as necessary. Train the mind. Yes, sir.
You encourage us to watch the news and
I do.
To continue basically doing what we usually do and apply awareness to it. So I guess I'm wondering.
I actually don't say apply awareness to it. I don't think if I have, I'd like to hear the quote.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but that's just my understanding of
okay.
What I've heard you say.
Go ahead.
So the question is there any way to, for instance, watch the news and not feel paranoia, basically get sucked up into that world of adding and subtracting?
I'm ready to respond. Probably not. If I can't stay clear of it, I don't know how you can. Not that I'm so wonderful, but I've been stretching my awareness for 45 plus years. And what's happened is even more ghosts and goblins come rushing in. There's more room for things to come and go and come and go. The whole world, the whole CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Russian television, everything is welcome to come and go. And all my emotions and feelings in response to that are welcome to come and go too. I can't watch the news without getting irritated. But it doesn't happen to an individual who is irritated. It's just irritation. And it's probably more clear and even purer than irritation that is wound up with some kind of an ego or self-centeredness that is trying to get rid of the irritation by taking it somewhere else and blaming this or blaming that.
So is it ego to avoid the news and sit?
Well, there's a couple ways of addressing that. First, I'd say no. And the next thing I would say is ego is unreal. So you don't have to worry about if it's ego or not. If you're, this is why it's necessary to have a teacher. Without somebody telling you this and reinforcing this, without other people, without a place to practice this, this is very difficult to do. There are very few places where, I'm not saying there aren't places, there are, but they're compared to the 750 billion people that are in the world. Don't you dare correct me. Okay, it's less than that, probably. But nobody's counted them. And a lot of times, people start counting and they get people confused with insects. And then you got another problem. What was your question? So, to go a little further, I'm just saying that you don't have to worry about the self-centered. It's just going to be there. It may come, may go. Don't be too concerned with that. Be concerned with the space in which things occur. Space doesn't do anything. Awareness doesn't do anything. Wisdom doesn't do anything. The wisdom is just not separate from anything else. Until you see it, there'll be suffering. I'm not condemning you to anything, but there's going to be frustration of some kind until you find out exactly who you are. And who is that? Who are you? Not separate. You're not separate from anything, from the worst possible monster that's ever lived to the highest, loftiest saint who's ever lived. Not separate from anything. You're not, basically not separate from that, from those, that polarity. So realize who you are, and you will find that you're not separate from any of that. Ego may, you're not even separate from ego, which is unreal. And when I say it's unreal, I'm saying it keeps coming apart. If ego were really solid and real, I could compliment you, and you would not feel proud. I could criticize you, and you would not feel defensive. You wouldn't particularly go any direction. You might laugh at me. Good. Bailey.
You said, if we have any doubts not to do anything, could our lack of going into a situation be causing harm?
Yes.
How would we know?
If you're aware, and if your particular place in the line of various activities that are happening relative to that situation, if you're in a particular place where you're able to see that, or you're able to see that you don't get to decide where you're going to be in the pecking order. You don't get to decide that. In a big picture, you do, but in this little situation called a human being, you don't really get to decide that. But there's this uninspected belief, you could say, that we have some kind of control over everything. That's why people even say to themselves, lecture, I got to get control of this. Well, good luck. What a way to waste energy, trying to get control of something. Is there anyone in here that has run into that? How much you try to control something, it just doesn't work. I mean, it may work some way, like I can pick this up, wave it in the air. Oh, darn, I meant to do it with this hand. See, I lost control. But I didn't make this. I didn't even make these hands. Whoops, wait a minute. I'm getting a little bit presumptive here about my control. There are some people don't have hands. Did they lose control? Misunderstanding. It's not separate. This is not separate. Watch someone over here just being born, a little baby. Watch someone over here who's maybe older than me, and see how much control those people have at all. Very little. The control that you do have is quite often contained to, has to do with your body actions, because it's so very, very physical. You can move your hand up, you can move your hand down, but you can't move your thoughts from left to right. You might have the illusion you're doing that, but then I would say prove it. You can't prove that. There's no way you can prove I just move my thoughts from here to there, even though I'm not moving my eyes. But you can't even prove this with your hand unless you take a picture of me. Which way did he move his hands? I don't know. We wrote it down. Yeah, but are you sure of what you saw? I mean, I can go on and on and make a lot of nonsensical talk about this.
If we don't have much control, then what are the precepts of do harm or don't do harm and do good? What are those encouraging us to do?
It's encouraging you from this point, this person's point of view, encouraging you to look at what you're doing actually look at what you're doing and what you're not doing. So to actually observe that, it takes a while. That's why we say train the mind. First, we sit down and see what the mind does without us doing anything to it. You can sit down and have one day, if you're sitting all day long or half the day, one day where you're just flooded with thoughts of being angry about what somebody said or did or didn't do. You can't get rid of it. Even though you can lecture yourself and say, I just got to let this go. Have you noticed that doesn't work? I just got to let this go. Say it in a really squeaky voice. No matter what you do with it, you can't just get rid of it. Just like when you have really, when somebody does something and you have really negative emotions about what they did, they didn't come up with a bushel basket of negative emotions and pour them into you. Those you generated those. They might have done something that triggered it, and not even know they're even causing this unless you get upset and start accusing them, and then they, because they're so tied into their uninspected mind, they start defending themselves instead of seeing how much suffering you're doing and not fighting with you. It's called samsara, and it's circular. Please, please, listen to me. Get off the tilde whirl. Get off the merry-go-round. How do you do that? You have to see that you're on one. You can't get off, step off something if you think it's a straight line. It's circular. Passion, aggression, ignorance. Passion, aggression, ignorance. I like it, I don't like it. What problem? I like it, I don't like it. What problem? Around and around and around. You have to see that before you can see. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. Bailey.
Does awareness of what we are doing have an impact on what we are doing?
Probably. It's hard to trace that, just like I can't prove what I'm doing with my mind. I can't show you my mind. You can't show me your mind. Although we express what's happening there. More? Less? Does Bailey short for bay leaves? I just thought I'd ask.
I think it actually comes from bailiff.
Oh. The authority. Bailiff.
Or in my case, it comes from the TV show about the radio show, Cincinnati something.
Cincinnati 500.
K-R-K.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So how does awareness affect our actions?
Well, the way I'd like to respond might not be the kind of question you're asking. I'm saying if your life is flooded with awareness all the time, then you're very aware of all the crap you've never been able to get rid of. It's still there. Kind of keeps you humble. And you're around other people that don't know how screwed up they are. No more. Okay, so there's that. What's your question?
How does awareness affect our actions? Yeah.
So having that awareness, you can see that you're likely not to blame people for when you see how much what you've been aware of about your own life, your own mind, how much difficulty you've had in trying to be different than you are. It doesn't work. You have to be genuine. You have to be who you are. There may be some change come out of that, but there's not going to be any change, significant change, unless you first see what it is. If you try to change something without seeing what it is, it's like take a meal that's already cooked, going to the recipe and crossing off some of the ingredients. Probably not going to help too much since it's already been prepared. All you cooks are smiling. But it's that kind of a metaphor. It's like you can't do that. So if the awareness is queen, if the awareness is king, if the awareness has the priority rather than just the cloudy mind, of the klesha mind, the deceit, the deceptive mind, the passion, aggression, ignorance, and liking, not liking, paranoid, and worried about this, worried about that, and what if I make a mistake, and that kind of mind, we all know about those, and just awareness is there, then you see very clearly the causes and conditions that are arising in any given moment, and you see the ones that you have some kind of purchase on, and the ones that you have no business doing anything. They're too complicated. You can see their structures go. As soon as a person opens their mouth, if you've looked at this and you know who this is, you don't need to ever talk to anybody to find, you don't have to ask anybody a question. You won't have any questions because the primary question has been answered. Nothing is separate. When that's been answered, you no longer divide things up based on your hope and fear and opinions and so on. And so therefore, you see the things you could do to help because just the nature of it through your awareness of what that is. And you may reach out to fluff that up, push that down, or move it sideways. Or even see that there's nothing you can do with that. And you may see more deeply into that, say, if it's another person, then that person has a clue about themselves. You also see the intense suffering that they're trying to avoid. And that's why they might be acting so nuts. Because they don't like suffering and they're trying to get away from it. They're trying to get away from something rather than look at what it is they're trying to do and try to understand what's the best way to approach this. Very pragmatic from that point of view. If you have an example, again, it's like the meal and the menu. You haven't really examined what it is, then you realize that you keep cooking the same damn thing over and over again. Same, you don't even look at the menu. Yes, back there.
So I had a long discussion today about my history or believing that I had a role of doing good or thought I was doing good. Mm-hmm. And in effect, didn't have any control or made much change. And ended up doing myself a great deal of harm.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, if there was, I didn't have a sense of awareness about that for a long time.
Yes.
So maybe my question is how to better cultivate awareness over those yes. situations. And, you know, I suppose meditation is a big part of that. But if you could expand on that.
From the point of view of what you're asking me, it's the only part of that that needs to be addressed by you personally, if I may say so. Having listened to you talk for a few minutes, I have a very strong idea of what you're dealing with. And I would say as much time, you don't have to be a Buddhist, you don't have to commit to me or anyone else, but as much time as you can spend sitting down, face the wall, if that's too claustrophobic, then look at the carpeting. But sit down and limit what's moving out here in front of you as much as you can without turning off the lights. You need the lights on, so you need to be able to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think. And just hold as still as you can and watch what continues to move. And do it every day. Schedule yourself. Do it. Don't meditate when you feel like it. Meditate just like, you know, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, eating breakfast. Just do it on a schedule so that your ego mind or your self-centered mind isn't in there giving you these little mini lectures like, you're feeling pretty good today. You don't really need to meditate. Or you're feeling like crap today. That's the worst last thing you want to do is meditate. You know, you're kind of neutral today. Why not just stay? There it is. Passion, aggression, and ignorance. All making a commentary on don't meditate. It happens to the worst of us. So do that. Spend, you're a young woman. You've got a long time to live, more than likely. There's no guarantees, but more than likely. Spend the rest of your life doing sitting meditation so that you can see, so that the clarity will happen very slowly. We've been lifetime after lifetime. We're human beings that have been here for a long time generating all this craziness that you see all over the place. This didn't happen just with the last three election cycles. This has been crazy for a long time. Go back to see why the Korean War started. You'll be amazed. Go back and see what we did to those people. You wonder why they're trying to protect themselves. Yeah. So do that, and don't give anything that's happened in the past as far as what you might have messed up or done. Don't give it a second thought. Don't give it a third thought. Don't give it any thought particularly. But if it shows up on its own, like a lost puppy, then take care of it. Then look at it. I mean, you'll know whether you need to look at it or not. But don't force looking at something out of some kind of a idea about it. Stretch that awareness. Train the awareness so that you see more and more clearly. It's cumulative, but you don't. The thing that makes it difficult is you don't really get a merit badge for it. Feeling more aware does not feel like feeling more aware. If you feel like you're more aware, you're lying to yourself. I can say that with a whole lot of assurance. Yes.
On the cushion, what does it mean to look at something without adding, subtracting, dividing?
To watch, and when something comes up, see the way you add to it. You have to watch the way you add to it for a long time. The adding will stop on its own. You just have to make sure that you're there to see it. You have to see it. If you don't see it, then it won't fall away. Because when you see it, you also start to see as a not as an afterthought so much, but as a included with that scene. You also see the way, you see the fuel lines that are running up to you. You see where that particular thing that is happening is getting its nourishment. It takes a while. Yes, sir.
If you're actively seeing it, is this still a form of delusion?
Also, more.
Like if you are an identity who is watching something else occurring?
Not exactly.
What is it?
It's a process, and you're in the middle of the process, so you just continue to do that. You won't get credit for that seeing. You won't feel like you're suddenly getting somewhere. You may feel like things are getting worse. This is why it's so necessary to have a teaching. The Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha are a powerful structure for someone's ego mind or belief in a self to come into, because it just seems to catch you from several different directions. What will occur is, as you watch this, it will be there, 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 and it'll be gone. And no one has removed it. That's why it's sometimes in the spiritual tradition, someone who suddenly just realizes what this is, it's called grace, because they know they didn't did it. They know they didn't did it. They know they didn't do it. They knowed they didn't do it. They know that even though they somehow have this incredible clarity about everything, just coming out of nowhere, they know that even though they worked hard, they know that they didn't actually earn anything. That they were, it's almost like somebody sat back and said, okay, let him wake up. What the hell? It's not that way. But sometimes it feels kind of casual like that, like somebody was just going along bopping heads. Like they say, when they sometimes look at you, the joke in high school was, where were you when they were handing out noses or something like that? Isn't that a joke? Isn't that a joke? Yeah. Where were you when they handed out brains? It was off in the corner. So, but this doesn't take anything away from the need, even the discipline, you could say, to get to the cushion, sit down, look at what's happening, watch what's moving, and be ready and willing to experience your mind. Have the kind of generosity that is so important, not only to give to others, but give to yourself. Give yourself attention and pay attention to your thoughts. Don't keep adding all kinds of garbage on top to keep yourself from thinking certain things or feeling. Keep yourself from not feeling this. Sit down and be genuine. Feel if there's crap arising, fine. If the crap goes away, fine. There's a tradition in Buddhism, in the Buddhist monastic tradition out of Tibet, that there's a slogan. I was just asking my son today, who is one of those scholarly people, speaks Tibetan, asking him what the translation for this is, because it's originally Tibetan. And he told me, now I can't remember what it was, but the one that I asked him was, if it's better for me to live, let me live. Better for me to die, let me die. It's that kind of renunciation, that kind of clarity that is ready to, whatever's coming, that's what I want. That's what I need. This is not nihilism. This is complete and total generosity. So if you want to be generous to others, you want to start out with basic generosity, no matter who they are, if they're 8 years old or 80 years old, give them your attention. Give them. In other words, you're giving them your attention. And then the other aspect of generosity is how to receive. Receive anything anybody gives you, and that allows them to be generous. Interesting little twist on generosity that has nothing to do with looking like somebody who gives things away. That's a waste of time from the point of view of awakening. From the point of view of ego, it might get you some points. It might get you into the next lifetime where suddenly, J. Paul Getty is giving you dollar bills. Private joke, sorry. Yes.
Question from Sheldon down in Union City.
Yes, Sheldon.
He asks, if we're no good and we mostly do harm, how will these words help that?
Read that again. Oh. If something zings you, if it's after the fact, does it mean it's zung to you? Just curious. Go ahead.
If we're no good and we mostly do harm, how will these words help that?
no good. That must mean Sheldon, because he's no, everybody knows he's no good. And we mostly do harm that. That's Sheldon. Doing harming everyone. Yeah. I'll tell you what words will help you, Sheldon. Don't believe your thoughts. Don't disbelieve your thoughts. Don't do anything with your thoughts. Just watch your thoughts. They're like non-existent choo-choo trains. They come and they go. They blow a lot of smoke, make a lot of racket, but they come and they go. They're just thoughts. In order to find a sense of equanimity or balance in our lives as human beings, whether it's me, whether it's Sheldon, whether it's anybody here, you have to stop picking and choosing and picking and choosing and be at war with your mind. When I say your mind, it's not really your mind, but that's your discovery. Yes, sir.
Isn't do good and don't do harm just perception of what it is?
Yeah.
Why do we attach to the good, so-called good, or the good?
We want things to be different than they are, and we want control. And we want credit. Nobody really wants to do good and not have everybody know about it. Oh, are there a few saints in here? Oh, maybe there are. We do good and we want people to know we've done good. Occasionally, I mean, just not often, but occasionally people put a $500 bill in the cookie jar that says Sokozan on it. It's rare, maybe every once a week or something. And of course, they don't write their name on it, and so they just totally, you know. And I, of course, give them a special blessing. So we want credit, you know. We want something. As long as you want anything other than what this is, if you want something else, then this is a ego, self-centeredness, or a belief in a separate self. Ego, that ego is not real. It's just an invented thing. But we make it real by keeping track of it. And well, how's it doing? Is it getting better? Is it feeling worse? Instead of having a feeling, we have someone who's having the feeling. Just the feeling alone is enough. You don't have to have a feeler behind the whole thing with little ears. Yeah. Oh, we got all kinds of time. See, I've not made myself that clear. So, oh, apparently not. Yes, since you.
When talking with someone who wants to kill themselves.
Yeah. Talking to someone who wants to kill themselves. Yes.
Is it going too far? To say that you don't want them to kill themselves?
To generalize about that is just completely would miss the whole thing. So there's no protocol. There's no, even though people do this all the time, you need to meet everybody right where they're at. And in order to see where they're at, you either need to see where you're at or realize that you don't really know where you're at, so you even less chance of you meddling with them based on your preconceptions, your judgments, your evaluations, and fear that they're going to kill themselves. Don't replace their fear with yours. I mean, you could, and I'm saying this not to you and not to anybody in general, but you could actually assist in someone's doing that by participating on a level of meddling. They might only do it if you try to stop them. They need to really look at that. There are people on suicide lines. I'm not saying they're not doing a wonderful thing, dedicating their life to say, but don't misunderstand what's happening with someone. Everybody that says they're going to do this is not coming out of the same set of causes and conditions. Do you follow me, or is there a further question? Help me with it. Give me a question.
I'm wondering what to do with the energy of just feeling that something has to be done.
Well, in your situation, you're a counselor, so it's a little different for you. You have somebody who's actually coming in there, probably on their own or court ordered or whatever, and you're talking to them. And if that comes up in that situation, then it might be dependent on all the other things. Maybe it's the first time you see them. Then I would work on, I wouldn't look at that too closely. I wouldn't jump on it. I would say, yeah, that's sometimes people feel really bad. I mean, you know, give them a little bit of credit for feeling like crap. So go to the feelings about it rather than what they're going to do about the feelings. So change that. And I usually don't give people too much advice. Well, I guess I lied. Just go real slow with that person. See, you know, make sure you can get to see them again. Give them a future through your interaction with them on some level. And pay attention. Pay really good attention without interrogating. I already know you well enough to know you don't interrogate anybody. So just be with them. You know, be with them. Give them attention. And notice whether the person is using that to... anyone who says that has some kind of motivation out of even telling you. Quite often the person who's going to end their life is not interested in telling anybody anything and they want to be stopped. But so don't, you know, give respect their confusion and their clarity. Just be with them. And if someone does do that, you can't really be blamed. You can't say it's giving yourself way too much credit to think you could have stopped them. People do this quite often. They just circular. You're not going to be able to prevent certain things just because you think you're all powerful. More.
You've said that you can never leave this room.
Yes.
How does that fit with suicide? Or does it?
It could somewhat. When I say you can't leave this room, I just say you can't leave where you're at. You could use this room as a good one because you're in this room. You haven't left yet. If you get up and leave, I'll just say, okay, well, you can't leave that room then. Well, you can't. Now I'm outside. What are you going to do about that, Sokazan? Well, you can't leave the garden. It's not that kind of a thing. What's being commented on there is that whatever this is, you can't bail out on it. You have to be here. You have to be genuine with this body or without. This is why if it gets this far talking to someone, I try to let people know and as respectful a way as possible without interfering with anybody's religious stuff or their life for that matter, that you might kill this body, but you can't kill who you are. There's no way you can kill. And so that's why the body would drop and you would see a body laying there. So you can't leave this room. More. Yes.
Patrick in Seattle. He asks, okay. Do we have choice in this life or just the illusion of it?
So, I don't do true or false, but in this case, since it's you, Patrick, he's in there, that's right, since it's you, Patrick, and you're all the way out in Seattle, I would say, what was your question?
Do we have choice in this life or just the illusion of it?
Both. We have some choice. I'm going to now drink my coffee. Choice. Now I'm going to set my coffee down. Now I'm going to drink some invisible air. That was an illusion. So, not being silly about it, I'm saying a little bit of it seems like those are two really strong concepts that kind of take us over. Once we grasp on one, it grabs back. Once you grab on the other one, it kind of grabs back. And so I would say, you know, keep them, don't come to a conclusion about that answer. Rather than listen to this old man, I would say, listen to this old man. No, don't do that. Yes, do that. Not this, not that, not both, not neither. This is the teaching of the Nagarjuna from the 2,000 years ago. Not this, not that, not both, not neither. It's the fourfold negation, the tetralemma that destroys philosophy altogether. If you want to go and study it, then it's available. Written thousands of years ago. So it's both illusory and actually, there's actually something there that is selected. That selection, if there is a selection, it needs to, if we're going to do good and not do harm, it needs to come out of a profound and vast insight into the entire mandala or circle that we sit in, which is our family, our world, our society. We need to be with the society and watch it occur rather than go to war with certain parts of it because we think, well, we got to go and attack the infection. This is just a misunderstanding. You attack an infection, you totally ignored a completely healthy arm. Of course, I'm not a doctor, so I shouldn't be commenting on that. I have a couple minutes. If anyone has further questions, I would appreciate it. Yes?
Is it possible to know?
Know what?
Truly, that we're doing harm or doing good?
Harm and good are relative things that oppose each other, and good is defined by harm, and harm is defined by good. But to just be present, there's no way, the idea is, there's no way that you can do anything that's inappropriate. Doing what is appropriate may be, appear to be harmful in some ways to some quarters. So doing harm may be, appear to be doing good. We see this all over the place. People are doing things that are totally harmful, and it's trumpeted out as being good. It's not good. It's harmful. And what do I say? Hold your seat, train your mind, and don't add to the confusion. Don't go out into the world and add to the confusion by bringing out your own uninspected, unresolved, your lack of awareness around your own negativity, and project that out onto something else, and then go to war with that. You're actually fighting your own aggression. Happens all the time. That's how wars happen. That's why we have huge chunks of metal on wheels with guns on the front that are way too big for eighth graders to be playing with. I should say fifth graders. One more.
Sometimes it's a helpless feeling, though, when we see big pieces of metal with wheels and guns on the front.
Yeah, it is.
So how is sitting on a cushion looking at the wall helpful?
Well, just to say it very literally, you won't go out and make it worse. And I don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do anything. I'm saying if you're going to do something, do it with as much clarity as you can. You may not be fully awakened or enlightened or something, but you may have a lot more clarity if you spend some time going a little bit slower and being not quite so speedy to jump onto something, so you can see more clearly. If I go in this direction, this is something I don't really understand. Sometimes we project onto something, we understand it because it is so obviously horrible. That still needs to be looked at. You'll notice that the people, sometimes watching the people around any given horrible situation will show you how people with completely good intentions don't understand what they're dealing with. They're going to make it worse. We're in a situation where somebody could make it so worse that there isn't anybody left to even talk about being worse. It's possible. Thank you very much.
I'd also like to remind everybody about the donation boxes that we have out in the hallway. We appreciate all of your financial support that you can give us to help us do good and not do harm.
May the mirror of this penetrate into all places so that we never